Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. The reason why we call it the Bear Wozniak Adventure is because each of us is on an adventure. My creed is that the most radical quest a man can pursue in life is to abandon himself to the wild adventure of God's will. And so today we're going to talk with our guest, Dr. John Sottosanti, about really his adventure in life. And you know, a lot of the word adventure can mean basically turning adversity into adventure by pursuing God's will. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We're talking about how adventure, Louis L'Amour, one of my favorite writers, he's a Western author. In my new book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, has a lot of his quotes in it. He says that adventure is just another way of saying things really went bad, you know, and what it took to overcome that adversity. I know here in Hawaii, when the surf is big, we paddle out, and sometimes it's challenging, but normally here in Hawaii, we surf reef breaks, and they may be a quarter of a mile, half a mile, or even a mile out. But there's usually deep channels between the reefs, so I can paddle out through these channels and not have to paddle battle to get through the waves. I can be 10 feet from a 30-foot face, you know, breaking on my, to the right of me, and I'm not even 10 feet, just a few feet. But it doesn't kill me because I'm in a deep channel. But I've surfed in places, most places, when you paddle out, even in moderately big surf, you have to paddle battle. You paddle and you paddle and you paddle and you paddle, and you're going against wave after wave after wave. You're duck diving through it, and you're oftentimes getting swept down the coast. And when you finally make it out, you're not even sure where you are. But you just keep the course, and eventually you make it out. Well, I just want to encourage everybody there. Today we're going to visit with Dr. John Sottosanti, who himself has helped many people with medical issues. He's an oral surgeon, but has faced them himself, and not just medical issues, but any area of your life. I know everyone I'm talking to right now is facing a challenge. And I've learned as a radio interviewer, I become a radio interviewer wherever I am. If I'm having coffee here in Hawaii and there's people kind of sit at the same table here at the little coffee shop we go, and I'll ask him questions, and the most meek and mild person there, you wouldn't believe the adversity that they've had to face and conquer in their lives. Everybody has a story. And so we want to talk about that. We have with us as our guest today, Dr. John Sottosanti. He's from the San Diego. I met him through the Legatus speaking down there. And his book is Mortal Adhesions. Kind of a cool title. But Dr. John Sottosanti is world-renowned in his efforts at learning, developing new methods of bone growth, which is very important with dental surgery. And but is also went on this journey from not really believing or having a relationship with God, but through Curcio and hiking the Santiago de Compostela, and even facing prostate cancer in his experience at Lourdes. So, Dr. John Sottosanti, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Thank you, Bear. It's a pleasure.
So good to be with you. I see in your background there, you got Mother Angelica. I love that picture on that book cover.
Yes.
I love that because I remember when I first went to Alabama, I was really on a discovery phase of where the Lord was leading me. And I walked into that, to their studio, and I saw that big picture, full color picture of that exact picture. And doesn't she have that smile on her face, like, I know something you don't know, and God's up to something, and get ready for the ride of your life? That's what it looked like to me.
You probably don't know this because very few people do, but I'm actually related to Mother Angelica through marriage.
No kidding.
My daughter-in-law, who is in the book about the baby being born, her stepmom is a lady by the name of Barbara Houghton, who is Mother Angelica's first cousin.
No kidding. Oh, so that's why you get this halo. You get the kind of arches over into you. Well, we want to get into your story because we only have this 45 minutes together, and I want to get right into it. Can you, during this segment, we've got about 6 minutes here, just kind of develop the background of who you were, your journey, you know, the intellectual pursuit that you had, and your professional life as we go into seeing kind of where eventually you kind of had there. Is that all there is kind of experience? Is there must be something more? So.
Okay. My dad was born in Italy, actually in Sicily. He came over in a very poor family, but he was able to go to college and get a degree in civil engineering. But he faced a lot of prejudice, anti-Italian prejudice. And he would preach to me and say things like, John, what you need in this country is to get college degrees and not just one degree. Become a doctor. If you become a doctor, you'll be respected and you'll make a lot of money. So I followed that and I took it beyond what he asked for and got graduate degrees and specialty training, et cetera. And opened up a practice in San Diego. First, did some training in LA. The book talks about movie stars that interface with me, et cetera, even down here in San Diego. And I made a lot of money, and Dad's words were always in my mind, even though I was a cradle Catholic. When I went off to college, an Ivy League institution, which was very secular, I stopped going to church. Didn't think much about God. We got a lot of successes when I graduated. And 1983, bought a house overlooking the Pacific Ocean in La Jolla, California, which is almost like the Beverly Hills of San Diego.
Well, La Jolla can't be compared to anything. It's just so
beautiful.
So beautiful. And the seagulls there, and then early in the morning, you're getting your cup of coffee, walking along there, and you hear these seals out on the ocean. Absolutely. Echoing along the cliffs, and just the fragrance of the Pacific Ocean. My wife and I have spent some time there. You know, beautiful, beautiful La Jolla.
Yeah, so the house was a big house. It overlooked Scripps Pier. I could see the white water hit the sand. I could hear the waves roaring into the house. I bought almost a stretch Mercedes, a black Mercedes, brand new, S-Class. And everything was perfect.
I love that chapter of your book where it says that song, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?" Yeah, you had great success in your career and the financial trappings that came along with that. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's your pursuit in life, as opposed to a byproduct of the pursuit of God's will, then that's just a bunch of emptiness eventually.
And I found that out. I did. What I ended up doing was building an empire. I mean, for a private practice, I had several offices, multiple surgeons, big staff. There were 52 of us.
Wow, John. Wow.
And I was the head person. But the stress got to me. I started getting severe back problems, neck problems, headaches, insomnia, anxiety, stress.
And I bet you became a bit of a headache to people too. You know,
I'm sure I did.
You know what I mean?
My wife will tell you that.
But yeah, you know, it's so interesting because as a CPA, you know, I speak at a lot of the Legatus groups, which is how we met. I ask people when is bigger is not always better, you know, and when is enough enough? You know, not that it isn't great to build major enterprises, but some people just kind of get in that path and it's not necessarily God's will or the best for them or their family to just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually I'll ask them, what's more important to you, this or your marriage, you know? And not say that you can't be very successful in business, but it has to be all done in a balanced way. And it needs to be, your focus needs to be Jesus Christ so that it's all, that you're following his will. So I know what you mean.
That was the problem.
I've seen that. Yeah.
That was the problem. Jesus Christ wasn't part of my life. I thought I was my own God. I thought I could figure everything out myself till I realized I couldn't. And I remember the evening so well. I was in my Mercedes-Benz with the rooftop open.
The one the Lord bought for you?
Oh,
Lord, won't you buy? Yeah, so you had the roof open and you're looking up at the stars.
the stars and nature, and I looked up there and I said, actually said the words, God, if you are up there, because I didn't know if he was, if he existed, all I want is inner peace. Please help me. And it was turning to God that started changing things. It was amazing. It started with the very next day. You know, I can't go into details of all the little things that happened, but it was unbelievable. In the beginning, I thought it was all coincidence. But as things went on, he put people that were unbelievable in my pathway and things.
Now we're talking with Dr. John Sottosanti. And we'll be right back after this break. But yeah, it strikes me that he put Spitzer in your path. You know, Dr. Robert Spitzer, as an intellect yourself.
Oh, he definitely did.
Yeah, and his great books. And I think one of the things he talks about is man's upward yearning, you know, and that looking up, the word desire means to look up at the stars. I probably stole that from Spitzer or one of the early church fathers, I don't know. But you had that moment when all of a sudden you saw there was something beyond yourself up there. And you made that cry. And guess what, everybody? God hears those kind of prayers. And Jesus is the great hound of heaven, and he will pursue you. Dr. John Sottosanti will be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak adventure. Now you can journey with other men on the adventure of a lifetime, growing in manly virtue through Bear's Man Cave Community and our 3-year School of Manliness. Join at deepadventure.com. Better yet, you can lead your own sons through the same compelling video, audio, and written content. Can you imagine how much deeper your relationship with your dad could have been, and how much more you could have learned and pitfalls you might have avoided if your dad had a tool like this to help to draw you both into a deeper, life-changing discussion? Now you have a trigger that you can pull that will take you into gritty discussions with other men and with your sons at deepadventure.com. That's right. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. You can gain traction in the virtues in my book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. And you can be inspired by my personal testimony of heartache and triumph with my book, A Surfing Guide to the Soul, both newly published by Sophia and available at our web store, deepadventure.com, and also on amazon.com.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. About 2 years ago, I was driving with my wife from Waikiki. We live here in Waikiki Beach, going along Diamond Head. And this song came on the radio, and if you know my wife, she's a cowgirl. She was raised riding horses. She didn't have anything but cowboy boots to wear until she had to become a cheerleader in high school. So she's a real cowgirl. And there was a song being sung, and she said, "You're going to love this song." And she turned it up, and it was Paula Cole, and she was singing, I can't say the words exactly, but was singing something like, "You make the money, I'll raise the kids." And then she was bemoaning. She said, she was singing, "Where is my John Wayne? Where have all the cowboys gone?" In my new book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, is based on that. And we hear this wherever we go. When Cindy and I travel, if I'm speaking like at a radio gala or a Legatus group or wherever we speak where there's mixed people, because I speak a lot just to men. If we're speaking to a mixed group, the women will get to us before we get in the building, and they'll pretty much put us at a full stop, and they'll just say, "We need for you to tell our men to stop apologizing for being men. We need for you to tell them we want the men to be men. We need we need men to be manly again. And so, like, I was invited to speak at the Tampa conference this February, which I'm looking forward to, the men's big men's conference there. And they were going to call it Catholic masculinity. And I go, if you do, I'm not going to come. Just call it Catholic manliness. Just call it manliness. The word for man in Latin is the word vir. It's the root word for the word virtue. We need manliness again today. Again, so this book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Women, you need to read it. Young women need to read it so they know what the standard of a man really is. Fathers need to read it, and men's groups need to use it, and fathers need to read this to their sons. And if you're a single mom, you need to read this to your sons. Our guest today the book could have been written about John Sadosanti, Dr. John Sadosanti, oral surgeon from San Diego. His book, Mortal Adhesions, and we're really kind of tracking the story of his life. So now you have this Desiree Data sort of moment. I shouldn't say it that way, but the word desire. You're looking up, and you say, God, if you're there, you know, show yourself to me. What happened?
The very next day, I went to a bookstore and I went to the rack for audio tapes because I was going to be going to a business meeting with my partner. I wasn't getting along with my partner. It was very stressful. I hated the thought of the meeting. And I see this tape, and it was called Love is Letting Go of Fear. And I ended up listening to it, loved the principles that it taught me about, it said 12 steps to happiness, and happiness is what everybody wants. And I go to the meeting, and I had my partner listen to the tape before he went too, and we had the best meeting. And then he gives me a gift a week later. He'd never given me one. I opened up the book, and it said the publisher was the Foundation for Inner Peace. And it was that the same words that I had just used.
Yeah.
No.
And you knew God was at work.
The actual author who I wanted to meet so badly put in front of me in an airport.
No kidding.
And you have to read the chapters because there's so much in there. But there was an amazing series of events that made me realize for sure God existed. But then, you know, it's a big stretch to become a devout Catholic from just saying God exists. And I think that I went through a period of time of at least 10 years of searching, tried New Age, tried evangelical Protestantism, tried everything. But my wife was very Catholic, and my mom prayed to St. Jude every day because I was a hopeless case. And my wife got me to go to a Bible study, a weekly Bible study that went on forever.
Was it a non-denominational Bible study or a Catholic Bible study?
Yeah, there were mostly Catholics and some Protestants there, but it was
just
more
a mixed
or less
group.
Non-denominational. Yeah. And anyway, that was first. But the big thing was the Crucio weekend, and you talked about manliness.
I want to hear about, you know, my dad, I never made a Crucio, but my dad became very involved because we came up through the Catholic Charismatic, kind of the Wild West days of those. But he went through Crucio and made a major impact on his life. Tell me about Crucio.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, here you go up in the mountain. You have no idea. We have a mountain in San Diego, and that's where it's held at a camp up there in the woods. You go up there, you have no idea who you're going to meet or what they're going to teach you and all this stuff. And you go up there and you see people that maybe you know around town that are like top executives, people that are really successful, athletes, etc. And they're really, I'll use your term,
and it's
manly
men,
guys.
Yeah, men only, right? The men go to different ones than the women.
The wives or the women go the following week.
So they're manly.
And these guys start talking about God, and they start talking about Christ. And like one guy who was extremely well known because of his wealth started talking about his drug addiction and how he hit bottom and it was about thinking suicide and how God came into his life, probably through Crucio. And he turned it around, and now he's an incredible person. And people were sharing, and they couldn't help me enough. I loved it. Anyway, it started changing my life.
So it was grit, and grace. You saw real men that taught, that lived a life of in the Holy Spirit, in relationship
sure
with
did.
Jesus. Yeah,
they really did. And one of the men, he's called the rector, was a big 6'4", athletic, handsome, healthy guy, who a few years later developed cancer and became a big part of my story. Because what happened was, this 2 years out, I would keep touch with some of the people. And I formed, well, I didn't form it. They formed a group, the Crecillo guys, to meet every Friday morning in a restaurant and talk.
That's the big thing about Crecillo is when you're done, you're not done. You go right into a brotherhood.
You do. It's called the fourth day. I've been doing it for 20 years. I've been meeting with the same men.
Well, it must be a good restaurant. Yeah. Must be a good restaurant.
Well, we've changed 3 restaurants, so it's the men, not the restaurants.
I know, I'm messing with you, but yeah, absolutely.
No, I know.
Food and fellowship go well.
So the rector got cancer. I heard that. He was in my breakfast group. And then what happened was one of the guys I used to see every few months and have lunch with told me he could have lunch with me any day because his wife was going to Spain. And I thought, who's she going with? Oh, all by herself. She's going to walk across Spain on the Camino de Santiago, which is a 500-mile pilgrimage route from France all the way to Santiago de Compostela in northwest Spain.
So you can't take an Uber ride then to do it. You got to actually walk it.
No.
But I want to pause you for a second. Yeah. Did you have a conversion experience? Did you have a deepening in your experience with Jesus on that retreat to Crecillo, or was it still in progress?
No, I had the most profound spiritual experience of my life.
Tell us about that. Let's not on what at the Crecillo or on the Camino.
On the Camino.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's forward to that then. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it was on the Camino. What happened was, my son called me. I have 3 sons. Only one was married. The other 2, I'm not sure they'll ever get married. But Mark called me and he said, "Dad, I have some bad news." His wife had been pregnant twice and she miscarried both times. And he said, "We just went to the doctor." This is right after the second miscarriage. And he said, "We'll probably never be able to have children." And you know what it's like to have a kid, right? I mean, I've heard you talk about it. And I couldn't believe I couldn't be a grandfather. So I'm a type A personality. When my buddy tells me about the Camino de Santiago and his wife's going to walk across it, I go on Amazon, which is relatively new, but 20 years ago, and I buy 5 books on the Camino de Santiago. One's an encyclopedia, and I find out there's a saint who's known for helping pregnant women deliver or have a baby. Queen Isabella of Spain in the 1470s actually went to the tomb on the Camino, the tomb of San Juan de Ortega, and prayed there for a baby. She needed a son to be the heir of the throne. She had a daughter 7 years earlier and had miscarried, just like my daughter-in-law. And she prayed, and 9 months later, she had a son. And I said, well, it worked for her. I might as well try. So that's in the back of my mind when I go to my Crecillo breakfast, and there's this guy sitting in front of me, Mike, and he's bald from chemotherapy and weak and sad. And the Holy Spirit talked to me and said, "Mike, have you ever heard of the Camino de Santiago?" He said, "Yeah, that pilgrimage route across Spain." I said, "Would you do it with me?" He says, "You're crazy. I can't walk around the block." And the guy next to me, who's an ex-fighter pilot in Vietnam, really macho type guy, he went ahead and said, "I'll do it." So we talked Mike into it.
Just to put this, so we got to take a break. We're at a hard break here. Before we get in deeper into that story, we're talking with Dr. John Sato Santi, his book, Mortal Adhesions. We'll talk more about his walk along the Camino. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
This is Daryl LeBoon Markham with another episode of Country of Loner. Once upon a time, there was a cowpoke named Loner. Loner wanted to be a lawman, wrangled his way to get deputized as a posse member. Strange bird he was, criticized a posse regular-like, saying because a fellow posse member offended him and the sheriff disappointed him that he wasn't going to ride with the posse no more, nor take direction from the undersheriff. He chortled, "I can hunt down bad guys on my own." Adam. Don't need no Guldern posse in spite of what it says in that old tattered posse manual. Well, Loner was eventually bushwhacked and killed by Scarface Joe. That's what happens when you ride alone facing evil. Loners like folks who say they don't need the church to be a Christian, in spite of what the Lord Marshal says and in spite of what the Lord's Manual says. Fact is, two-thirds of the Lord's Manual, the New Testament, lacks context apart from Christians participating as a member of a local church. It was that tough old sodbuster, the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the Corinthians that a Christian saying can't say in truth he doesn't need the church. Said it's like an eye saying it doesn't need the hand. Sure, there's going to be some daggum hard things to follow in the manual. The sheriff can be mystifying at times, and yes, there's always a posse member that will offend us. Truth is, you'll not be effective in defeating evil apart from the posse and reading the manual. You'll get taken out by someone far wilier than Scarface Joe. So, ride with the posse. This is Daniel the Boone Markham at countryup.org on a journey a few miles this side of heaven.
We invite our mama bears to join with us at deepadventure.com. You'll have access to all of the Long Ride Home TV shows even before they air on EWTN, plus 3 years of the shareable Ocean Sunrise Daily Catechism videos, plus at deepadventure.com a 20% discount at our online store with all of our great t-shirts and clothes and books and rosaries and medals and all kinds of accessories. You'll also get an autographed copy of Bear's latest book, and for a limited time, a Catholic biker stuffed teddy bear, all at deepadventure.com. Come on, Mama Bears, let's hear you roar. Did you know that each Saturday morning you can receive the shareable YouTube video version of the Bear Woznick Adventure in our inspiring weekly newsletter, even before it airs on the radio or hits the podcast apps? Never miss another episode. You can even binge watch Bear's inspiring guests. Think about the impact you can have sharing these videos with your friends. Go to deepadventure.com and click the subscribe button.
Be the kind of man that when he gets out of bed in the morning, the devil says, "Oh no, he's up." Go to deepadventure.com and invite Bear to speak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Woznick Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Woznick. We want to invite you, Mama Bears out there, to go to deepadventure.com and join the Mama Bears. You get access to, well, if you join the Man Cave too, the men, there's the Man Cave and the School of Manliness at the same site. But you get access to 2.5 years of videos as I go all step by step through the catechism while I'm down at the beach every morning. And then you have access to all 33 episodes of Long Ride Home, our motorcycle TV show, and the women have access to a 1 year course on the virtues, and the men have access to a 2.5 year school of manliness. So we invite you to go to deepadventure.com, go to our web store there, and check out everything. But it's a great, if you want to know anything about our ministry, if you go there, you'll find out. So deepadventure.com. We have with us today Dr. John Sato Sante. And we're talking story with him about his journey towards the grit and the reality of Jesus Christ. So now, John, you're with your men's group. You're still on your journey towards faith, but you're having that personal experience of the Lord at this point, right?
Yeah. What we did was all of us were working, so we couldn't take 6 weeks off. So I found out you can still get your Compostela, which is the official certificate you get in Santiago de Compostela when you've completed the trip, if you bicycle it. So we went with a bicycle company.
Oh, that's the way to do it. Yeah.
And that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to make it too easy. So I made a bargain with the Lord. I didn't know if the Lord was listening to me or not. But I said, "Dear Lord," I said, "a lot of the guys are going to ride in the van when we hit the steep hills." And I said, "I'm not going to get in that van. I will suffer as much as I have to do this for you, and I hope that, you know, that Mark and Martha will be able to have a baby." And I prayed
praise God.
The Lord to have a baby.
You know, I got to say something. And when I pedaled my bicycle from San Diego to Jacksonville, Florida, and right. I did that as a prayer. And I remember, yeah, by the way, I know how steep those mountains in San Diego are because that was the hardest part of my whole thing. But I that whole 27 days was a prayer. That way, and I dedicated that time to a prayer. And so I understand this journey and that pilgrimage being a prayer, this very specific prayer. And you weren't going to let that difficult terrain stop you. You were going to do it.
No. And in fact, the morning we were going to go into the town of San Juan de Ortega, where the tomb was and the saint for infertile women, I had a terrible bike accident. I almost got killed by a Mack truck. He came between two buildings around a curve, almost wiped me out. I had to hit the building, hit the ground. I'm laying on the ground. His rear wheel goes within 12 inches of my ear, and my legs are bleeding and everything else. But I rode the rest of the way that day and come into the town and the tomb. And Mike, because he had cancer, had rushed down to the church. The rest of us were starving and we're eating our sandwiches. And he comes back and he says, "John, drop your sandwich. Go down to that church and go down in the tomb." He said, "You're not going to believe what's there." He said, I've been to Lourdes. He says, "That's a holy place. But I've never felt the presence of God as I have in the tomb of San Juan de Ortega." He didn't know much about the saint. So I go down there and he was right. I walk into that tomb and all of a sudden, I mean, on my bloody knees, I hit the ground. I can't believe I did that. And I start praying. And there's a tomb down there. I'm on an upper level of a two-level tomb. And I'm looking down at the casket. And across from the casket is a dark wood cross. And I'm looking at the cross and I'm praying for a baby. And all of a sudden, Bear, you're not going to believe this. I see a small blazing cross superimposed on the dark big wood cross. I'm looking at it. And I'm a scientist. I've written multiple papers.
Yeah, you're a scientist. This isn't real. It couldn't be real. Yeah, right.
You know, I can't be hallucinating, and I haven't been drinking. And all of a sudden, that cross divided. You know, it became three crosses. The one cross divided, and it's like an egg dividing, except that the mother cell didn't disappear. The mother cross stayed there. I'm looking at three crosses. The outer crosses divide. Now I'm looking at five blazing crosses. They divide, and I'm looking at seven blazing crosses, and they stop dividing. I didn't know at that point in time that seven is a very holy number. It's in the Bible.
Right.
Times.
The number of wholeness.
And for at least 15 minutes, I stood there, but I couldn't believe, I mean, I prayed there on my knees, but I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So I said, "These Spaniards are incredible. They've got a light show going on. They're projecting crosses on the far wall, and there's a movie projector behind my head, and it's shining through a hole in the wall." So I turned around, and it's a solid wall. And I said, "Well, my glasses are reflecting the votive candles down below and turning them into crosses." So I reached for my glasses, and they're my back cycling pocket.
They're not even on. Yeah.
They're not even on. And then I ran out of, I knew then it was a Holy Spirit experience.
And what a miracle.
It was a total miracle. Now, the end of the story quickly is that Martha got pregnant within 2 weeks of my returning home. Gave birth to a baby boy 9 months later, who is now a senior at Yale University.
Well, praise God. You know, I'll tell you,
God
cares. God cares. And, you know, he listens a lot to the prayers of grandmothers and grandfathers. You know, even though at that time this child wasn't born, you had this grandchild in eternity, God knew.
I left that tomb knowing Martha would have a baby. They're not sure they believe me, but because their face isn't quite where I'd like it to be at this point of their lives. But I knew it. I felt God spoke to me.
It wasn't white knuckle. It wasn't, "I'm going to believe this." It was like you just knew.
I know.
Yeah.
Certainty.
Yeah, way down in your knower. Not science. It's so funny how science denies. Well, I don't want to get off on this, but the scientific evidence behind the shroud, as I know you love Father Robert Spitzer and
the
work he's done, and the Eucharistic miracles, there it is, it's right there, and they'll deny it. But so now this must have propelled you on your own personal journey too. So I want to get to the part about the prostate cancer in Lourdes and all of that. So that's the sneak preview of what's coming next. But don't skip anything important, but go ahead and tell me now. So you let them know there's a baby on its way. Did you tell them?
I told them. And then after the baby was born, I told them basically after the baby was born, and then Martha mm-hmm. laughed and she said, "Oh, everybody's trying to take credit for my baby."
Yeah. Well, the Bible says that before.
No, they know. They know. No, they know me. That people will say to me, "Well, I mean, when people just first meet me, they'll say, well, is he really, is this truthful or not?" Well, you have to look at my record. I mean, I practiced surgery in the same town for 45 years. And you know, I didn't jump around from time to time. I've never been sued, thank heavens, thank God. And I'm a scientist. I publish papers in scientific literature.
Yes.
I've been president of multiple societies, including Legatus, but also at the national level in healthcare. So I'm known as a person who tells the truth.
Well, you know what?
I couldn't look at you and tell a lie.
But yeah, that's so significant a statement. But to be known as a man of your word, that is so significant. Science and truth and God. People keep thinking science and religion are in some sort of conflict, which to me is ridiculous. But you know, God made a world that if he wanted to, he could intervene. And he does that. He did that at the incarnation. He does that with miracles. I want to talk about your prostate cancer because you may not know, but I maybe you do know, I've also been through that battle. So let's move on from there then. Don't skip anything, but let's move on towards that because we have one more segment. That's why. So
rolling. The toughest sin to get rid of, because the title of my book basically says a surgeon battles the seven deadly sins to find faith,
yes,
happiness, and inner peace.
Okay.
So the toughest sin to get rid of is your ego. And I really started riding a road bike. I bought a lightweight titanium road bike. I love it. I'd go up and down mountains. A pedaling bike.
Not a motorcycle.
I hate batteries.
Yeah, okay.
Cars maybe, but I hate batteries on bikes. I would train going up and down mountains. And so I did a ride called the Death Ride in California, 129 miles and 16,000 vertical feet of climbing in one day.
Yeah, that's almost, I mean, you went, and is this an off-road?
No, this is an off-road. This is the skinny tires on road.
On paved road.
But averaging 9,000 feet elevation, so thin air.
Are you going straight up, or are you having to wind yourself back and forth?
I did five peaks. We climbed five peaks. So five peaks averaging 3,000 feet a climb.
Okay,
all in one day.
So that gives you some street cred. We got to take a break here. I guess that gives you a little bit of street cred then. As being the manliest guy in the room here right now. But no, so John Sadosanti, the author of the book Mortal Adhesions, we'll talk more about that ride, and then we're going to talk about this, the ride of your life, you know, as God leads you through your adventure. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We'll be right back.
People love our EWTN TV show, Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak. Thanks to you, the show has won four different Tally Awards. And now, instead of waiting each week for the next episode to air, you can actually binge watch our show and even share it with your friends when you go to deepadventure.com and join the Mama Bears or the Man Cave. Along with all the other benefits, you get total access to all the seasons of our aired episodes, plus instant access to episodes that won't even air for several months. Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak, a great way to communicate the gospel in a gritty enough way that even tough men will stop and watch at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. When you go to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel, you get access to all of our free playlists, including hundreds of episodes of the Bear Wozniak Adventure, plus the three-year journey through the whole catechism in our Ocean Sunrise Catechism series. And you even get short clips and live streaming of Bear and Cindy's Adventures in Paradise videos. Go to YouTube and subscribe to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure Channel.
Are you still listening? I thought we warned you to change to an easy listening station. Well, you asked for it. Here is more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Aloha. Welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to the YouTube channel and subscribe to Bear Wozniak, the Bear Wozniak YouTube channel, the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel. Or better yet, go to our website, deepadventure.com, and there's up there it says subscribe. If you push that button, you'll start getting these radio shows sent to you every Saturday morning, the YouTube version of it. And you'll be able to kind of preview. You get to see our handsome guests instead of just and beautiful guests instead of just listen. And one of our guests today is John Sadosanti. So you decide you're going to do this. What is it called again?
The Death Ride. You can look that up on the internet.
No, I remember. I used to do this mountain bike ride, 7 miles down to the beach and 7 miles back up. And people used to say, the last part was the hardest, coming back up. And they say, that's going to kill you. I go, no, that's going to keep me alive. Right? So it wasn't the death ride. It's the ride for life, really, when you face that type of, when you take on a physical challenge like that. But tell us about that. And then I want to get into the story about your Lourdes and your prostate cancer.
My PSA started rising when I'm riding the bike. You know, I'm just too busy to work about
PSA
it.
PSA is a test you take that shows if you maybe have a prostate challenge.
Yeah, exactly. And I just figured it was the bicycle seat was pounding my prostate, and it was just a overgrown prostate from being traumatized, and it was just going up a little bit at a time. And I start reading the literature and thinking, oh well, I start taking over the counter type holistic stuff. I'm a terrible patient myself. I like being in the white jacket. And finally, I find out I've got prostate cancer that has spread outside of the gland. Aggressive was the way the biopsy report came back. And again, even though I was strong in my Catholic faith at that point in time, I had to turn to the Lord. I started going to daily mass, and then followed the daily mass, I went to Eucharistic adoration. And then I turned to Padre Pio. It was one of the great things about Catholicism is we have so many things to turn to. Well, not only Jesus Christ, but we can talk to the saints or pray to the saints, etc. And I prayed to Padre Pio, and I got this message, in a sense, an idea, to go to Lourdes, France. So I went to Lourdes, France, and it was the most amazing experience. You have to read the book.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I've highlighted a few spots, but I got to go through it. And everyone should get the book Mortal Adhesions, Dr. John Sadosanti. Okay, so you went to Lourdes.
Yeah. So I went to Lourdes, and things happened there. God put people in front of me. There was a Northern Ireland cancer group that goes almost every year, and was headed by this wonderful priest. And I'm waiting in line to go into the baths, and he sits down next to me. Had a wonderful experience, and I ended up going to healing masses that night, and he would pray over me and things. And when I went into the baths, I felt the most unbelievable peace of my entire life. When I left for Lourdes, I was anxious. My staff in the office knew I was anxious. When I came back, I'm singing Marian hymns, and it's just, I'm so peaceful. And this woman had worked for me for many years, was a Lutheran. She said, whatever you have, I want. I said, let's go to lunch.
Well, you know, you see, but what you just said is so significant. You don't have to be a theologian to bring someone to the Lord. Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses. And your countenance was a great witness. And so now you're just going to go and tell her what Jesus did for you.
I did. The night before our lunch, I sat down and wrote 17 reasons she should be a Catholic. And I went bang, 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 bang. And that's all. It took an hour and a half. And I brought her to RCIA. I became her sponsor. She became a devout Catholic. Unbelievable. And now that I've written the book, people write me emails and they say, I'm going to return to the Catholic Church after reading your book. I've been away for 30 years, 40 years. I haven't gone to confession in 40 years. So it's been really rewarding to me.
Well, how is your, tell me about you experience, you went into the baths, and what do they do? Do they someone helps you get in, and you, Did they pray for you at that moment, or what happens?
They do. They have you pray. There's a statue, and you pray. You pray the Lord and Mary, and then they dunk you back. Since COVID, things have changed, so I don't know if they still dunk you, but they dunked me underwater, pretty cold water. And people said, when you get out of the bath, you're going to dry off instantaneously.
Well, that water is a miraculous. That's a miraculous spring that just opened up when Mary appeared there.
Oh yeah, the story of Bernadette Subaru is incredible.
I've been there to Lourdes. It was kind of like maybe the beginning point of my return to the Catholic Church. I just went by myself, but did you receive a healing, or tell me about that?
Well, first of all, I had a spiritual healing right away because the peace just came. So that was good. I came back and I was very clear thinking. I decided to go ahead because I had been on hormone treatment. When your prostate cancer is really bad, the first thing you do is whack it with hormone treatment. That produces your PSA down to almost zero. So to go ahead and not have treatment, I'd have to wait 3 or 4 or 5 months, see if the PSA came back up, type of thing. So I went ahead and had radiation treatment, but I breezed through it.
Which I had radiation treatment. I didn't breeze through it. It was gnarly.
Okay, I had proton therapy, which is different radiation.
Yes, I know.
And 15 years later, obviously, I'm doing okay.
But that cancer, at the point that it was, that was kind of like, that's it. I mean, it had gotten past your... Mine was as extreme as it could get, except for not, it hadn't gone outside the prostate. And so, tell us now. So you went back and still continued the treatment. You did the common sense thing, right? You didn't just throw the...
Yeah, I thought it was a common sense thing.
Yes,
you know,
I think it makes total sense.
If you want to be one of the 70 miraculous cures, you can't have any treatment at all at Lourdes. And there's 7,000 to 10,000 people that swear they have been cured at Lourdes, but the Lourdes Medical Bureau has to have all your records. And you can have no treatment whatsoever.
I love that about the Catholic Church. Difficult. Yeah.
I love it too.
So you would say that you were... I'm interrupting you. I apologize, doctor. So you would say that you experienced the inner peace and a physical healing too, but you continued along the protocol. You've been 15 years now, and what's your PSA level now?
Oh, I still have a prostate. It's 0.12.
Yeah, so that means probably zero. They just put the 1-2 there because they don't want to.
Exactly. I didn't have surgery, so... It can't be zero, but
I
couldn't be happy.
Well, and
my faith journey continued because I found a spiritual advisor, and I got joined the Goddess. Which
what do you
is
mean
a,
by a spiritual advisor?
We meet once a month, typically.
And how is this person qualified to be your spiritual advisor?
Oh, it's a priest, a Catholic priest, and he has many people that he's giving spiritual advice to, but he asks what's going on in your life, and he's a guide, and sometimes some very difficult decisions have to be made, and he closes his eyes. I swear he speaks to God or Jesus, and he tells me what he thinks of. And sometimes I follow it, sometimes I don't. But
does he Padre Pio you every? Does he Padre Pio you every now and then? Get in your face or anything?
I constantly read Padre Pio books. So
I have his right on my desk right now. I have a little short.
I'm looking around for my little book too. So he's one of my favorites. I think we're so blessed. I think that if you ask the question, Bear, you know, why should somebody read your book? I think there's three reasons. If a person out there is having any kind of anxiety at all, unhappy with their life, and wants to know, does God exist? Honestly, think if you read my book in its entirety, you'll say at the very end, I think John makes a really good case that God does exist. And is the Catholic Church right for you? It bailed me out in so many ways once I finally turned to it. And, so anybody that's got anxiety, doesn't feel comfortable, a great book to read is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And he talks about...
Oh, you're one of those kind of readers. You're one of those kind of readers. Okay.
I tried to read. He talks about the existential vacuum. In other words, we get all these things. We get the big car. We get the big house. We get, you know, everything we think is perfect. But it isn't perfect because there's a void there. As Augustine said, a hole in your heart that needs to be filled. Mm. And when you have the existential vacuum, Nature abhors a vacuum and wants to fill it. What does it fill it with? Your addictions or your seven deadly sins. And addictions can be to houses. It doesn't have to be to drugs. But we obviously have a drug problem in this country today.
I got it. We got to close out, John. We're right at the end of the. We're right here in the end of the show. But you're right. You know, it's like the chasm is infinitely large. Because it's designed to be filled to be the temple of God Himself, so it's as large as all eternity and large as all infinity, and if you're filling it, one of the church fathers talked about it's like a man walking down the street and eating air. There's no substance, you know. If you fill it with anything other than God, so if you're feeling that emptiness now, believe me, the emptiness is infinite. And only God can fill that. And if you want to know more about that, go to Dr. John Satisanti's. There's certain people out there that are just going to respond to this book like no other book. And so I really recommend you read it. It's an easy read. It's a good read. It's a page turner. And I didn't get to read every single line of this book because of my own schedule this month. But I'm going to take it with me on my next trip. And I'll be reading it. John, where can people find you?
Go to mortaladhesions.com. One word, and go to the contact page. And my personal email address is there. And I will answer you. Feel free to do. Mortaladhesions.com. You can also go to Amazon through that, too.
Right. Thank you, John, for being our guest. And in Hawaii, you know, we say aloha, which means to give breath. And God gave us breath, you know, when he breathed into Adam and Eve and when he said to his disciples, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, and he breathed his spirit on them. So we'll close by saying this. May the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
Thanks for listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Find more manly conversation at the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel. Subscribe and ring the bell.